Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Thanks for being with us on the program this week. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Our guest today is Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes, and we should let you know before we go any further in the program that today's show has been pre-recorded, so unfortunately we cannot take your phone calls during the show today. But remember, you can always email questions for any of our four mayors to our address, ask@wbaa.org, and you can tweet your questions at WBAA News on Twitter. Mr. Mayor, good afternoon. Thanks for being with us as always.
Well, Stan, it's a pleasure, and I do appreciate WBAA's flexibility. You guys are always so professional, and I hope that next month we have twice as many questions live is what I'm hoping. So thanks for having me today.
Sure, no problem. And are you excited about the new Butler basketball coach, or are you still down in the dumps about the fact that your star coach has gone to Ohio State? I know you're a big Bulldog believer, being an alum.
Such a bummer to lose Coach Holtman, and I hope that one day, this is our fourth or fifth coach in a number of years now at Butler. So, you know, we wish head basketball coach Chris Jordan or Javal Jordan all of the best luck in the world, and we'll be pulling for him, that's for sure.
Well, let's get to some of the news of the week, and probably one of the biggest things going on in your community this week is the rededication of Frankfort Hospital now that IU Health has officially signed on to run it. I wondered what sort of conversations you'd had with IU Health officials about the services that the city needs from that facility under IU Health's management.
Well, we're excited to welcome Indiana Health to our community. We know that they're a world-class health organization. Over the past really 2 years now, and a little bit further than that, our county officials have been in a back-and-forth discussion and negotiation, and the goal was to provide world-class health care to our community. That and we know as we potentially grow in the future and attract more families to live in our city, that health care is really a centerpiece to all of that. And through those discussions, IU Health gave our county officials, and I believe our community at large, the piece that they would strive to bring more subspecialties to our community, to expand services in our community, to upgrade our hospital infrastructure itself. Things like our emergency department, allowing more privacy in the emergency department, our inpatient rooms, upgrading those, our OR suites. And I believe Indiana will do that. And I believe they will be a great community partner. Of course, we have the flag-raising ceremony this week at the hospital. So it's the start. It's really the start of a new chapter. And we need a hospital that if you need your appendix removed, if you need that minor surgical procedure, that you can go right down the road and you can have the assurance that you're going to be getting great care. And I think that's what we're going to have when this process is in the swing.
Well, frankly, the hospital has not had such a great reputation in the past, to the point where that I've met people who say they would sooner drive to Lafayette to receive care than go to what Frankfort Hospital has been. So it seems part of IU Health's challenge here is actually to overhaul the public identity of that building.
Well, I think anytime you're dealing in healthcare and individuals are in stressful situations, obviously, I've been there as an individual. So you expect the best out of wherever you go. And I think that's why our county officials took this discussion so seriously in the past couple of years. They didn't make this decision lightly. St. Vincent's and Ascension Health has been a part of our community for quite some time, and we appreciate the work that they did. They spent countless hours caring for our community, but you know, the county officials, from what I read in publications in the newspaper and talked to them about, we needed a new direction. We needed a commitment to upgrade hospital infrastructure, to strive to recruit and bring more physicians to our community, to expand subspecialties, and I believe they were given the reassurance that if IU Health was the captain of our hospital, that would occur. And so that's the expectation moving forward, and I have no doubt that IU is going to meet that call.
I did a story a couple of weeks ago about the Healthy Communities of Clinton County convening meetings to talk with people about the rise in drug overdose visits, specifically to hospital emergency rooms in the county. And there was some concern from the group's director that IU Health might not know the scope of that problem in Clinton County. It is the third worst county per capita in the state for drug overdose visits to emergency rooms. And it's not something anybody likes to talk about, of course. But do you think IU Health knows the problem is that severe in and around Frankfort?
I would have to imagine that they do. Anytime you're talking about IU Health and you pick up the publication every year that talks about America's top docs, most of those docs in that magazine you see are associated with IU Health more often or not. Obviously, there's several situations where docs are at other hospitals. But what I'm trying to say is I believe we're working with very astute individuals that know Indiana probably as good or better than anyone else around the table in the state of health. Really in the state of Indiana. So I have to imagine that they will meet the demand, they will meet the call. And also, I think that's where we have to continue to build relationships with our first responders and our administrators and docs at our new hospital. I think it's our job that, you know, as our police chief, our fire chief, our EMS employees, as they interface, they're going to be able to communicate, let IU Health know about our community so that they can be ready for anything that is thrown out them, and I have no doubt that our first responders will continue to be that great first line of defense in terms of terrible overdose situations, and then that once we roll them into the ER, if that is necessary, that the physicians, the nurses' aides will pick it up from there and do a fantastic job in providing great health care for that patient.
This is Ask the Mayor on WBAA. We're talking today with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes. This program has been pre-recorded, so we cannot take your phone calls today, but you can always send questions via email for any of our four mayors to ask@WBAA.org, and you can tweet those questions at WBAA News on Twitter. One thing I didn't get to mention to you on last month's program because we ran out of time, but I wanted to address with you now, is there was a meeting the county commissioners had where, they've said that wind farms and the wind issue, which we have talked about on this program, is not necessarily a priority for them. But there was a group of a few dozen people who went to a recent meeting and just kind of silently stood there protesting peacefully the idea that there would be further wind development in the county. And you have said you're kind of unsure about whether it should go forward. I wonder, do you think now that this issue is maybe just dead for now in Clinton County?
That's my take on it, and I will say this is the beautiful thing about democracy. And the individuals that did that, I've heard nothing but good things in terms of they were incredibly respectful. They were there. Their presence obviously was known. The message they were intending to put forth to commissioners, that was received. And this is coming from a commissioner that they respected the amount of integrity and just really the graciousness that those individuals had. Because, let's be honest, we turn on our news every night, and many of the times protests are going in the opposite direction. They get violent. People get very malicious. But this was a situation where they most definitely were not. And it's just part of democracy and the right that we have as citizens of this great nation. I look for this issue. That this issue has lost a lot of steam over the past couple months. Just as a citizen, I really think it at this point in time, the ball is in the developers' court. I think the next step would for the developers to actually bring a concrete plan to the commissioners and present a project, and from there the commissioners are going to have the final say on it. I have heard individuals state that they have certain feelings about tax abatements on a development of this kind. One county commissioner in particular said that he would not support any type of tax abatement should the county council consider it for a development of this kind. So that may have played a factor in taking the wind, no pun intended, out of this situation. But it's continuing to decline, and really it's below the surface at this point in time with everything else that's going on in our community.
When Mike Pence was governor, he was famous for saying that he favored what he called an all-of-the-above energy strategy of trying to generate as much power as necessary for what he hoped was a growing and thriving Indiana. Where do you think that, especially because your city sits in this kind of band of northern to north-central Indiana where wind farming might actually be viable, where it is not necessarily elsewhere in the state, where does your community fit in that idea of an all-of-the-above strategy that former Governor, now Vice President Pence, advocated for?
I have all the respect in the world for our vice president and then Governor Pence. I look up to our vice president, obviously, for his position. I have great respect for that. I think it's easy for any state official or national official to take a stance and make a broad swathing statement. The way I have to look at it is this is something that we as neighbors here in Clinton County and Frankfort, we're going to have to live with this probably for the rest of our lives. We're going to be the ones driving by the wind turbines, seeing the wind turbines, experiencing the wind turbines. We wouldn't have a chance to get away from that situation. These are where our homes are at. So on this level, it becomes much more personal, and it becomes a decision of, is this what is best for Clinton County? Is this something that's good for our children from an aesthetic standpoint, from a visual standpoint? What type of experience do we want to have in Clinton County? I believe our country should become energy independent. I believe that we should focus on the resources that we already have, and wind might indeed be one of those resources. But again, you know, I pose the question, and I suppose that it will be. I look for this from the wind companies if they propose this project, you know, viably long term, depending on the investment that they are making and the amount of energy that these turbines would produce and the amount of energy that would go back on the grid and what that energy could be sold for and how it could stabilize our existing utility rates if it could. I would like to know financially, is it sustainable? Financially, is it viable? Does it behoove our taxpayers to continue to provide subsidies for an energy mechanism such as wind? Those are the questions that I pose. Those are the questions that I've asked. I have not heard the wind companies directly talk about this in a public meeting that I've been to, but perhaps if an exact project is proposed, those arguments and those points will be brought to light so that we as taxpayers understand, is this not only, is it viable from a resource standpoint, but is it viable and is it responsible from a financial standpoint?
On to other things, there's a couple in your community who are thinking of starting a co-working space near your city's downtown. What have they told you about their vision for that place, what it would look like, who it would cater to, what it would do, et cetera?
Well, we have a couple of those situations. So we have a young couple, Crystal and Chris Reichert, that are starting up and rejuvenating a historic building right off our downtown square that used to be known as the National Cigar Factory, obviously not making cigars there anymore. They have named that building the Bankable Building, and that has historical significance, actually. So they're looking at doing a plethora of things with that space, from an entertainment venue to bringing in small businesses and artisans, letting them sell their products. That's incredibly exciting. And then right down the road from that, we have the Chamber of Commerce co-working space in the Iron Block Building. And individuals right now can go to our Chamber of Commerce, located right on the northwest corner of our downtown square, and actually buy access to this building. They can access the building 24 hours a day, have refreshments, coffee, have access to Wi-Fi through the city's fiber connection, so it's very hardy internet connection. And hopefully this can be a space where small business owners that perhaps don't have the capital to go out and buy a space of their own yet, maybe they're a startup, can utilize this space to network and have that opportunity to have a professional space, to have meetings, and to build their business. So we do have synergy happening in downtown Frankfort. Nickel Plate Flats are 72-unit market rate housing development. Around a $7 million private investment is happening in our downtown on the east side of our downtown square. Hopefully that will be starting next month is the plan for construction there. We have a new Greek's Pizzeria going in on the east side of the square. So a lot of exciting investment is happening in our downtown right now, and I think great things are to come in terms of building our downtown core and creating a better quality of place in our city.
The city awarded the Reichert's a tax abatement last year. It seems like their effort has been a little slow in getting started, actually. I checked their crowdfunding page this morning, and they said that they need $10,000 to get equipment to set up in the space. And as of this morning, even though that crowdfunding page had been up for 3 months, they'd only gotten $100 of that $10,000 goal. Are you concerned with the slow speed that people seem to be buying into such a project?
Well, I can tell you that the Reichert's just came before the city council here not but a month ago for their annual CF1 compliance hearing for their tax abatement, and the council was very pleased. I can't speak to their crowdfunding page. I wasn't aware of that, but the council was very pleased with the amount of investment that these two young people have made out of their pocket to date on this building. Walking into it, it's really a daunting task, and I absolutely love them for taking a chance on our city. This is exactly what we want to see. Two young people in their early 30s. Chris is an engineer, both graduates of Rose Holman. Very young, intelligent couple. They own a home here in the city. They have two beautiful young children that they're raising in this city. So these are the type of risks that we want to see young people taking. And I was happy to see our city back them. If a young couple is willing to take a chance, we should be there to support them. So I also think this is a story to the region that hopefully will show other people, if they do want to come here and take a chance on Frankfort, that we as a local government will definitely listen to their plans and also support them in the long run, because their success is our success. And I have no doubt, as our downtown grows, because we owe a lot to them, they're taking a lot out of their own bank account. Now we have the ultimate responsibility of upgrading our infrastructure, bringing more investment like nickel plate flats, keeping our facade programs rolling, our sidewalks being rebuilt, so that more people want to come to our downtown and experience the bankable building as it is now and as it will be in the future.
You mentioned them taking a risk on Frankfort. Let me ask you a little bit about what risk the city is taking, because the plan sounds good, and there are lots of cities that are clamoring for more co-working space, and I mean, there are places like Greater Lafayette that honestly have too many of them at this point. But though their plans sound good, I was looking at the plans on the crowdfunding page, and you know, we mentioned the trouble with getting some of that funding, it seems like, and honestly, all of the designs, all of the pictures on that page are pretty amateurish. I mean, the blueprint for the space is using like Comic Sans fonts. How did the city vet this before you decided to grant that tax abatement?
Well, I definitely don't get into criticizing, you know, the grade and the level of a font on a crowdfunding page. I personally don't look at things like that. I can tell you the process that we went through is a very thorough process. The Reichert's invited the Councilmatic Committee, our Finance Committee at the time, to come to the building. This was roughly 2 years ago, I believe. Took a thorough tour of the entire building with their legal counsel there, sat down, put together an excellent presentation that was around 15 to 20 pages that laid out the steps and the phases that they would go through to bring life back to this building. And you know, let's talk hypothetically for a second, what would have happened had they not taken that risk. You have a building that's incredibly old, that's historic. You know, we know, being here in Old Stoney, how much it takes to upkeep a building of this magnitude in this age. What I believe would have happened had the Reichert's not come along, that building would have sat empty, it would have continued to degrade, and at some point in time, the city would have had to go in and probably declare the building unsafe, knock the building down. A building of that size, you're easily talking in excess of $150,000. You might be breaching the $200,000 level, to be honest with you. So at that point in time, the taxpayers would have had that amount of money wrapped up into that building, and we would have had another infill lot, vacant space right in our downtown core that would have been decrepit. And the abatement that we issued, it's important to remember that the city, we don't lose the baseline amount of taxes that was being paid on that property. The thing that is being abated are the improvements on the property. So I look at what the Reichert's have done there, and I think it's a huge return to the city. It saves us from liability down the road. And I think hopefully 5, 10, 15 years from now, that building will be a very integral piece in breathing life back into downtown Frankfort and creating a Frankfort that's a great place to live, work, and play.
The reason I ask about the vetting is that as I look at what municipal governments are doing, not just in West Central Indiana, but across the state in general, it seems to me that there are a few types of project, and a co-working space would certainly be among them, that people are going before municipal governments, before city councils and mayors. And if you go to a mayor and you say, I want to do a co-working space or a splash pad or a sports park or a microbrewery, those are like what the dot-com bubble was 20 years ago. Going to a municipal government, especially in a small to mid-sized community like yours, and saying, I want to start one of those four things, I feel like, you know, you get the kind of Looney Tunes thing where you've got the slot machine dollar signs going in people's eyes and the city council going, oh my gosh, can you imagine the investment if we just had a splash pad? It seems to me that there's a lot of excitement about a few different types of things like this, that it could be easy to overlook some of the risk that a city would take by investing in or giving abatements for some of these projects. How do you balance that if someone comes to you and says, I have this exciting amenity, and you and I have talked about your plans for a sports park in your city for as another type of this project. How do you balance those concerns of what you might be risking versus what you might get in return? I mean, it would seem like that has to be a long conversation about risk versus reward.
Most definitely is. And here in the city, we have a very stringent process. Our finance committee is engaged up front, again, for this particular project. And in the co-working space, what the Rikers presented, I believe that was a very small part of what this building could become. When I think about quality of place and I think about a project like Project Home Run or Prairie Creek Park or the Bankable Building, I think you have to look at a space and I think you have to look at all the various experiences that someone can have at that space to broaden your demographic and your ability to really bring in different sectors of a market that you're playing to. And take the Bankable Building, for example. If you go down to the Bankable Building, what the Rikers have planned and what they're doing now is you can go in. There's two beautiful little artisan shops. You can shop. You can buy custom clothing. You can buy jewelry. You can buy antiques that you wouldn't find in other places. And I know that's a niche right now. You know, look at the town of Kirkland and look at what they're doing with those types of shops, and things are just growing. And then also in the plans in the future, the Rikers are actually talking about an eatery in that building, which you and I have had that discussion, having a microbrew pub-esque space in the downtown. That is incredibly popular in downtowns across the state. And then they're also talking about entertainment opportunities, such as even an older-style movie theater that people could come downtown. So I look at the possibilities in this building, and I think you have the ability to attract a broad demographic of people, your baby boomers, your millennials. I think there could be something for everyone in this building. And again, you know, the risk would have been, if we would not have supported this young couple, this building would have ended up falling down. It would have ended up probably being condemned. We would have had to knock it down. And the taxpayers probably would have had hundreds of thousands of dollars wrapped up in that. So I look at this particular situation and abating the investment in the future, the upgrades, not losing the baseline tax that was coming back to the city that we enjoyed, and I look at that situation as a win-win, and I think we need to do more of that in Frankfort. If we don't create Frankfort to be a destination, and I think we do that through Project Home Run, through Prairie Creek Park, through the Bankable Building, through Nickel Plate Flats, if we don't do that, then, you know, the bigger picture is that we're not going to be able to attract a workforce to this community. And if we don't attract more people to live here and that can be trained here, then our investment prospects in the future when it comes to industries and small businesses are very bleak. So I look at these situations, I think about how they can pull back to the bigger picture of how we increase our assessed value, our population, and all of those questions get vetted in that initial process, and ultimately what then becomes potentially an incentive proposal that comes before the council and then is voted on in a due process in the public.
We've got just a few minutes left with Frankfort Mayor Chris McBarnes on Ask the Mayor today here on WBAA. You can send questions at any time for any of our mayors to ask at WBAA.org. You and I have talked a lot in recent months about your city's utilities, and now I see where your water utility is asking for residents to actually participate in a study that will take a look at the levels of lead and copper that are in the water there. Do you know how many people have agreed to participate in that? Do you have any sense of what that number is yet?
Unfortunately, not many people have taken advantage of that, Stan, and so we're asking the community. As of this past Utility Service Board meeting, we sent out approximately 85 letters to citizens in the community asking them to help participate in this study. Only 3 individuals had responded. So we're really trying to get the word out. This is something that we have to do for compliance and to make absolutely certain just on a regulated basis that we're doing all we can to make sure that our water supply is safe. And so if anyone out there is listening, you are a resident in Frankfort, there are certain requirements even of a residence. So if you are interested in this process, you can give my office a call. You can call the water department directly and ask for our superintendent, Mike Beck. And we are asking for the public's help when it comes to this study so that we can make sure we're performing our due diligence when it comes to our utility infrastructure.
I didn't know the answer to that question when I asked. Ask it just so people are clear on that. And one of the things that occurred to me in sort of being afraid that might be the answer, that you might not have the participation you're looking for, is because there's been so much talk about what's gone on in, say, Flint, Michigan over the last couple of years, I wonder if people are a little afraid of what they think they might find.
It's really hard to say. I hope that's not the case. You know, that's kind of like comparing when you're sick and you find a lump on your neck, just staying away from the doctor because you don't want to get bad news. We are really encouraging people again. You know, you've got to help us help you. And we are simply, we need to take these test samples. We want to make sure that our utility infrastructure is strong, is safe. We know that older homes were built with certain components that could potentially lead to a situation that is unsanitary and unsafe. So this is a situation that we're just reaching out to the public, much like on the public safety side, and saying, you report what you see. If you have a funny feeling in your neighborhood or seeing odd traffic at a home, give us a call. It's no different than on the utility side. Obviously, this is kind of a step beyond actually needing some samples of water within homes. But we are encouraging people to reach out to us. This is how we make sure we're doing the job that we're called to do. And if action is needed, we want to be able to take that in a very swift manner.
Are you able to incentivize people to participate in any way?
We have not. We have not gotten to that step yet. So I hope it doesn't become a situation that we have to. I hope the incentive is knowing that you're doing your part to make sure that both you and your neighbors are safe, that you're looking out for other people in the community. I think that should be the true incentive, and that's what I call on my neighbors to do right now in the city of Frankfort, if they are able.
Really quickly, do you have any sense, if you find a problem, what it might cost to fix it?
That's really hard to say. For example, I know with the State Road 28 West reconstruction, we are pushing the state with the funding that's coming down from Federal Highway through the state. It's going to be a $20 million project to help us replace the water infrastructure from County Road 200 all the way to the jog. These are things that need to be done. It can get very expensive, but the alternative is an unsafe, unsanitary, an unstable utility infrastructure. So this is why we have capital improvement plans. This is why we're so diligent in the budgeting process. This is why we make sure to build up our rainy day funds so we're able to take care of problems as they present themselves in a very financially responsible manner.
All right, Mr. Mayor, thanks as always for your time. We appreciate it. We'll do it again next month.
Stan, thanks so much. Have a great day.
Same to you. This has been Ask the Mayor on WBAA. Remember, you can find all of these shows archived at our website, WBAA.org, and you can send questions anytime for any of our mayors to our email address, ask@WBAA.org. I'm Stan Jastrzebski. Enjoy the rest of your day.